As I shared with you last week, today is the last Sunday of the Christian year. Next week is a whole new year. Now you have calendar years, and you have fiscal years, and many of you know that you have school years. And some of you follow baseball season as its own year. When spring training happens, I know some people see that as the new year. But the church has its own calendar, its own time to set seasons and priorities. That is what calendars do. They tell you what is important. Every year, my wife creates a calendar. And this weekend is going to probably be the time in which she begins to collect her photos for the new family calendar. You know what I'm talking about, the photographic calendar with the pictures and the special dates. Our calendar is likely different from your calendar in that our calendar has our birthdays. They don't have your birthdays. But recognize that your calendar doesn't have our birthdays in it, unless you're part of my family, which could be a possibility today. Nations create holidays, holy days. And those holidays, those holy days in the nation's calendar lets you know where you are and what you're doing. Several years ago when I was growing up, yes, back in the days when the dinosaurs walked the planet, we didn't have a Dr. Martin Luther King holiday. I remember when we started it. We had Washington's birthday. We didn't have President's Day. That came later. We had other holidays that have since changed. And as the holy days, as the holidays have changed, so too has our calendar, our school schedule, etc. I grew up in a time in which Columbus Day was a day off of school, and there was no such thing as a Dr. King Day. It's reversed now. We will see continued changes because what we set as festivals lets us know priorities. Every nation, every family, every church sets calendars to create priorities. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Christian calendar, this is always Thanksgiving. But for those of you who know the Christian calendar, this is Christ the King. Now, the good news is that there's not much of a distinction that we often look at. Sometimes we say, well, Thanksgiving is Christ the King because we give thanks to Jesus. The problem is that without Christ the King, we can be thankful, but perhaps not to God. You see, people are thankful for a lot of things that never enters into religion, worship, or salvation. We say thank you when we get our dinner served at a restaurant. We thank someone for their wonderful service. We even might leave a tip. We are thankful when we get a gift and we write a letter and we send a card. We are thankful for a lot of things. But are we thankful to God? Do we take the time to recognize our thanksgiving? The same thing is true when we talk about Jesus. Jesus is Lord, we say. Jesus is my King, we say. But what do we mean? You see, you can say words, and Americans do, or you can live what you believe. We have a tendency in the church and outside of the church to say one thing and live another. I'm going to go back to a very popular story in the news, Kanye West and his Jesus is King album. Still number one, by the way. Kanye is a Christian. But Kanye's been a Christian for a long time. In fact, Kanye was a Christian and celebrated as such when he released his first popular album that had the song Jesus Walks. Jesus Walks With Me. And the chorus and the verses talked about how the radio stations weren't going to play a song because he mentioned Jesus. And Christians went, a rapper that's a Christian, wonderful. And then 15 years passed until Kanye became a Christian. Well, wait a minute. Which one was it? Was Kanye a Christian when he wrote Jesus Walks? And if he was, then why are we making such a big deal of the fact that Kanye is a Christian today? Let me explain. We say Jesus is Lord all the time. We say Jesus is King. But what does that mean? Jesus is King in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, but the New Testament specifically always is King based on allegiance, not position. What's allegiance mean? Allegiance means that you are devoted fully to Jesus. It's military. It's political. We see whose people, whose kings exist in the lives of people every day when we look at the political world. Every time we watch the news, we see people tell you who their king is. We even have a way of recognizing it today. Some people say, well, that president isn't my president. We've heard it for the last, what, 12, 14, 18 years? Whoever's in office isn't someone's president. Why? Because even though they have the position, people don't give them allegiance or authority in their lives. In the lives of normal Christians, many of us never give Jesus allegiance. Even though we speak of it, even though we talk about it, even though we pray it and we sing it, we don't live it. If Jesus is my king, then Jesus controls my life. Then Jesus tells me what to do and where to go. Then Jesus will tell me when I'm wrong. See, that's the real point of it. Whenever you give allegiance to somebody, they can tell you that you're wrong. And Americans, we don't like to be wrong, right? I don't like to be wrong. And I certainly don't like to be told what to do. If I were a little more hip, I would snap and twist. Because no one likes to be told what to do. No one likes to be told that they have to do something. I have children, and I've had the difficult time in telling them what they have to do. And what happens when children are told what to do? They resist. They push back. They say, what do you think you are, my father? No, they don't say that. But if we serve King Jesus, and if we're intended to see Jesus as our King, then how can we simply give lip service to what Jesus has done and how Jesus is in our lives, and then do what we want every day of the week? Well, the answer to that is simple. It's easy to do it like that. Being allegiant, recognizing Jesus as King is difficult in a world that was built to avoid kingdoms and sovereigns and kings. We're not living in the same world as the people in Jesus' time, and we live in a nation that was founded and built on a tradition that no one is king. will say easily that I have a right to do what I want, right? We live in a free land and I could do whatever I want. Have you ever said that? Not if you serve King Jesus. If you serve King Jesus, if you recognize who Jesus is, then you shouldn't do whatever you want. There's a consequence. And in the book of Colossians, the letter to the Colossians, Paul writes about who this Jesus is. In verses 15 to 20 of the first chapter, Paul makes it very clear that Jesus is King. He's Lord. He's more than that. He's creator of the universe. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is the head over everything that we know. It's pretty big. And that's why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday as the culmination of the entire year. This is the high point of our worship. It's interesting because next week we start at the beginning again. All years start at the beginning at one point, right? Most of us on the 1st of January, we start at the beginning. We say, this year I'm going to drop that 15 pounds. And next year we say, this year I'm going to drop that 20 pounds, right? Because a new year is a new beginning. And next week when we start the season of Advent, it will be what? A new beginning. And now we'll be looking for the King. Next week we're going to pretend like it never happened. We're going to pretend like the world doesn't know who King Jesus is. But this week we say, Jesus is King. Jesus is supreme. The Old Testament prophets knew that God was King, that God was the King of the universe. In fact, it's embedded in ancient Jewish worship, even in the words of the ancient Seder. They would say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, you gotta show off every once in a while. Eloheinu melech ha'alom, which means, blessed are you, Lord God, King, melech, King of the universe. That is the blessing that is given in the Seder over and over again. It is recognizes God's blessing. God is King of the universe. The King of the universe created the world. The King of the universe saved Egypt, saved the Israelites from Egypt, brought them safely through the waters. The King of the universe was on their side, calling Abraham out of Babylon and calling his son Isaac and then Jacob and setting them on a path, bringing them the law, saving them over and over and over again. There is no king like God, they would say. Our gospel passage speaks about Zechariah the priest. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And Zechariah knows that God is at work in this new king to come, that his own son has been prophesied to make straight the path for a king to come. Again, something that we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come. Because in Jesus, the kingdom that we celebrate is always known today and experienced tomorrow. It's one of the tensions that we live in every day. Jesus is King, but not yet. Jesus is Lord, but he hasn't taken the throne on earth as it is in heaven. We both act and wait. And as we act and wait, we grow. And so I know Jesus is King. I sing it, and I pray it, and I preach it. And yet there are days when I don't act like Jesus is King in my life. There are days when I fail to understand fully that Jesus is King, that God is the God of the universe. Some days when I pray, I'm too casual in the presence of God. I get distracted. Have you ever been talking to someone and they yawned while you were talking to them? Okay, that's offensive, right? You know, you go, you know, you're like, oh, and then this happened and that happened and my life is miserable. And you see the other person go, oh, you don't care at all. How many times do you yawn when you're praying to God? Think about it for a moment. How many times do you say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to pray, and you fall asleep? You wouldn't do that in the presence of a king, would you? But all of us are still learning how to act in the presence of the King. We're God's children. We're learning. Children in worship learn how to respect. And we love when they walk and they run and sometimes speak out. Why? Because it means that there is going to be an adult in worship in 25 years. Let's not get angry when people don't immediately understand all of the ramifications of King Jesus. Because we're all learning. Even today, when Zechariah heard from the angel in the Holy of Holies, he ignored what the angel said, and God closed his lips. And the song of prophecy and praise that we hear in the worship today, that's when God opened his mouth once again, and God was praised. In the Old Testament understanding that God was the King of the universe, God was the creator of all. And Paul says, yes, God is King of the universe. God is creator of all. God is going to send John the Baptist to prepare the one that I am sending you, King Jesus. And in Jesus, Paul writes in Colossians, is the fullness of God. Everything that the Old Testament spoke of God is who Jesus is. The fullness of God lives in Jesus. For as Paul writes, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And the him is Jesus. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Through Jesus and for Jesus. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Who's that him? Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. And through Jesus to reconcile to Jesus all things. And again, you can put Jesus and you can put God, because God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and they're God. It's a mystery, and I'm not going to try to unpack it today. In fact, I'm not going to try to unpack it, period. But God is in Jesus, and God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. Whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And that's the wrinkle in Jesus, isn't it? The God, the King of the universe, the creator of all things. Gods don't die for people like me. I know that we're living in a checkers world, but at one point I used to play chess. And chess has pawns and bishops, and there's rooks, and there's knights, and there's a queen. But the object of chess is to get both the weakest and the strongest piece on the board, the king. It's odd that they set it up like that. Because in reality, in the ancient world, the king is the most powerful of all of the pieces, right? And yet, on the board, the king is not powerful. The king is sovereign. No one sacrifices a king for a pawn except for God. God sent the king, the one that created everything, the one that created and holds all of creation together, the Lord of the universe, the king of creation, God the Son, to die for me and to die for you. And we don't get it. And we don't understand it. And sometimes if we really end up in trouble, we start to think that the sacrifice that God had in Jesus lowers Jesus in our vision. I was told years and years ago that if you act like a servant, you'll be treated like a servant. And it's one of those very difficult truths, isn't it? You find it in children. You find it in relationships with people. If you serve things the same way all the time, guess what? People will stop thanking you, and they'll start expecting to get it, to receive it. When mom makes the pumpkin pie every Thanksgiving, it's a shock to the system if the pumpkin pie isn't there. It just magically appears, right? And the first time someone enters your family, the first time they cook, you say, thank you. And the second time, you say thank you, but it's not with the same enthusiasm. And what studies have shown, this isn't just me, this is studies that have shown, by the third time, you don't even bother to thank anybody. You just assume that it's there. Part of the problem with King Jesus today. The sacrifice of Jesus, the grace that we receive, the presence of God has been with many of us for our entire life. We grew up in the church, some of us. We experienced it. And we began to take it for granted. And so we say King Jesus, but we don't know what it means. We know that person. And because we know that person, they're not really that special. I've shared with you the story of my brother David. He's a special guy, right? He's a Congressional Medal of Honor nominee. He's a big deal, right? But he's my younger brother. And I've known him when he wasn't a big deal. And so I'm still the one of those guys that can still rib him, that can still give him the business, right? I'm the big brother, which is weird. And sometimes I can mess up because of that. In the past, there's times that I would introduce him to crowds and to audiences. And if I got too familiar, it would destroy the introduction. It would remove the presence that he was supposed to take. And I learned very quickly that if I was professionally going to do something for my brother David, I had to treat him as he is, not as I remember. And we would be smart to recognize that though Jesus died for your salvation, though his blood was shed for you, it doesn't mean that he's not your king and that he doesn't deserve your respect and your glory and your honor and your praise and your worship, and that everything we do is through him and for him. You know what that means? through him and for him means that the praise that we give, the glory that we give, the actions that we accomplish are through his power so that no one can boast. And at the end, when they're through Jesus, they are also for Jesus. Jesus is both the question and the answer to everything that we do. Jesus is the center. So when Kanye said, I'm born again, when Kanye said, I'm a Christian, it wasn't that he didn't know who Jesus was before. He had known Jesus for a long time. He grew up with Jesus. He went to church with his mother and heard about Jesus. He sung about Jesus. But Jesus wasn't his king. Jesus wasn't his Lord. Jesus was his friend. And I want to give you a warning. Jesus is your friend. But he's on the throne. And if you don't see Jesus as your king, you're going to be sorely mistaken when you get to the throne room. Because the reason this is the culmination is that history culminates in Christ the King. What does the Bible say in both Old and New Testament? In Daniel, when Daniel speaks of the Son of Man, and in Paul's understanding of what we see when we go to eternity, when we see the throne room, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King. Every knee, every tongue, Jesus is above all. Jesus is the King of the universe. In Jesus is glory and honor. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done. I'm grateful for the salvation that Jesus has given. I'm humbled that the King of the universe would die for me. But I'm also concerned for the sake of the church. It's one thing for the world not to honor King Jesus, for the world to see the holy days and the holidays and pick and choose the ones that we want, but it's another one for the church to miss what Jesus is calling us to. You see, we have a distinct calendar because we're a distinct nation, a distinct people, with a distinct king. We don't vote for our king. Our king doesn't care about red states or blue states. Our king is one in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our king is the one who came and walked this earth with us, who died our death, and who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Our King lives and today is on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And one day, our King will judge the living and the dead, separating sheep from goats, with only one recognition that is acceptable, his blood on you. When you bow, know that you're bowing before a king. When you worship, know that you're praising the God that created the heavens and the earth, the King of the universe. When you give thanks on Thursday, know that the number one thing you can be thankful for is that God sent the King of the universe to die for you and for me, and that God has created in us and for us salvation grace, and life. King Jesus, let's live as part of his kingdom in recognizing the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Loving God, you have sent your best, your Son, our King. The world didn't recognize him, tried to find a territory or a kingdom, a place. And today we still mock God in seeking a place. Let us be the place. Let the territory of the kingdom begin here with us being allegiant to your power and your glory and your salvation. Help us to be true, obedient, and to honor all that you do. Help us to live under King Jesus as citizens of your kingdom, of followers of your way, and of children of a heavenly Father. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus the King. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord.